Okay, this is our first shiur on the topic of Inui Shel Achila. So again, in the morning, you know, Rav Akiva has been giving shiurim on, you know, amongst other topics, the topics of the Shari Inui. So the one topic that he did not cover is the single biggest Inui, which is the Inui, which is Daraisa, according to everybody, the Inui of Achila and Shtiyah, which is a single Inui. So we're going to be really basically discussing this for, you know, the rest of our shiurim in the morning. It's basically only like 2.5 blah in the Gemara, but there are tons, a lot to be said about this. As you can see, there's a number of different issues within this larger sugya, which we'll get to, you know, as we go along. But I just want to be makdim, just give a small hakdama to basically the way we're going to frame the entire sugya. And we're going to see that it's based on this framework, these different approaches we're going to present in just a moment, that we're going to be analyzing really all, you know, the different issues that come up in the sugya. So we're going to basically structure it as follows. We're going to basically right now present, you know, the different, you know, general approaches to how, what the nature of the Inui of Achila and its geder. And then we're going to go start moving to the different impacted issues, a number like 12 or 13, I'm not sure how many get to, but 12 or 13, you know, sub-issues, issues within the sugya related to the geder and the parameter of Inui Shel Achila. We're going to see these various issues are impacted by the broader conceptual issue which we're about to discuss. Let's get to it right now. So basically, the big issue within the sugya is, what exactly is the nature of this Inui Shel Achila? What exactly is the geder? So we're going to see there are two general approaches. The first approach is that the geder of Inui Shel Achila is that the halacha formulates, right, the geder of the Inui Shel Achila as a classical iser of Maisa Achila. And that, right, again, the Inui Shel Achila is an iser Achila, which is formulated as a classical iser of performing a Maisa Achila. And as such, according to this first approach, right, the geder, the parameters of Inui Shel Achila will conform generally to the geder of Maisa Achila as found in the Chol HaTorah Kula. For, right, in terms of classical Maisa, you know, Macholos and Suros, and also the geder of Maisa Achila found in terms of, you know, let's say, in certain circumstances, even, you know, Achila Shel Mitzvah, right? Certain mitzvahs such as Matzah and others, you know, entail a Maisa Achila. So the same geder of Maisa Achila, which you're going to find in regards to other Macholos and Suros, and in regards to other, you know, mitzvos of Achila, will basically be the same geder of Maisa Achila as we find when it comes to the Inui Shel Achila. And according to this approach, again, generally you're going to find an equation between the geder of the Achila here and the geder of Achila in other places, but that's going to be generally you're going to find the case. There can be no discrepancies, but the few discrepancies that we find according to this first approach are going to be understood not as indicative of a completely different, you know, Maisa Achila, but rather as what we call quantitative adjustments. So as we'll see in just a moment, that if, for instance, everyone's going to admit that the, you know, let's say, for example, that the shear for Inui Shel Achila is different than the shear of Chol Torah Kula, right? Generally, shear is for Maisa Achila is Kezias. Here it's Chosevas. This is the topic we're going to get to, you know, today. But according to this first approach, instead of saying that different shear, you know, indicates that we're dealing with a completely different, you know, beast, it's not a Maisa Achila, according to this first approach, no, it is a Maisa Achila, and the shear is just a quantitative adjustment. We'll get to that in a moment. Fine. So again, according to this first approach, you know, the Isra of Inui Shel Achila will only be violated by a Maisa Achila, and therefore, since the Koveh is a Maisa Achila, if you perform Maisa Achila, even if there is no Inui, even if there's no Yisuve Daita associated with that Achila, you're still going to violate. That's in one direction. And the opposite direction, even if you have Yisuve Daita from food, if you do it in a manner which is not defined as a Maisa Achila, according to this first approach, you know, there's not going to be an Isser. So again, according to this first approach, the Geder is a Maisa Achila, and therefore, if there is a Maisa Achila, even if there's no Yisuve Daita, you're going to be over. And the opposite direction, if there is Yisuve Daita, but there's no technical Maisa Achila, you're not going to be over. That's according to the first approach. The second approach is going to say that the gender of Inui Shel Achila is unique and is distinct from the gender of Maisa Achila B'chol Torah Kula, because the geder of inui shel achila takes into account the factor of bittul inui slash yisuvei dayit, and that what differentiates this achila from all other achilas is that all other achilas are all based on performing a ma'isa achila, but here the koveya at hand is not just a ma'isa achila, but is also rather a the koveya being a bittul inui, in the sense that you're only going to violate the iser of inui shel achila when through that achila you are mevatel your inui. There's some factor of yisubei daita, some satiation associated with the achila, such that that eating is mevatel the mitzvah saseh of the inisim es nafsho seichem. Get to questions in just a moment. But again, according to this second broad approach, right, the geder of inui shel achila will be different than the geder of ma'isei achila b'chol Torah kula, because of this factor of a bittul inui slash yisubei daita. But even within the second general approach, right, that the geder of inui shel achila takes into account bittul inui slash yisubei daita, there's still a question that we have to raise in terms of whether or not there is any role to a ma'isei achila within this approach. So, and then we're going to see that there are two different versions. So we'll call approach 2A is that the geder is only based on yisuvei daite slash bittul inui, and there is no role whatsoever to a ma'isa achila. So again, according to version 2A, the geder of inui shel achila is unique. It's completely based on yisuvei daite, while there is no role whatsoever to ma'isa achila. And again, this version of 2a is going to be highlighted by certain mefarshim, as we'll see later, who basically are going to be machayev in the case of inui shel achila, for example, let's say a shlo kederach achila, right? An instance where you eat the food in a manner which is not defined at all as a ma'isa achila b'chol Torah kula. And they say, oh, because the geder of inui shel achila is all based on yisuvei daite, therefore it doesn't matter how you eat it, because there is no role whatsoever to a ma'isa achila. So again, exactly, or other examples, but yeah. So according to version 2a, it's all based on yisuvei daite, while ma'isa achila plays no role whatsoever. The other version, called 2b, again, according to this approach, it's still different than ma'isa achila b'chol Torah kula, but according to version 2b, as we'll call it, is that alongside the factor of yisuvei daite, there is also a requirement for a ma'isa achila. So according to this version, you're only going to violate inui shel achila when you have both a ma'isa achila and yisuvei daite. So again, according to this version, it's different than approach number one, because approach number one, it's all based on a ma'isa achila. There's no factor of yisuvei daite. According to this approach, no, it's not only ma'isa achila, it's also yisuvei daite. So again, but this approach 2A, well, 2B, sorry, is different than approach number one, which thinks it's all based on ma'isa achila, but it's also different than approach 2A, which thinks that it's all based on yisuvei daite. This approach 2B thinks it's a combination. You need both ma'isa achila and yisuvei daite. So according to this approach, there are going to be discrepancies, major discrepancies between the geder of inui shel achila and ma'isa achila b'chol Torah kula because of the factor of yisuvei daite. But this approach, in contrast to approach 2A, will also require the fulfillment of a ma'isa achila. And therefore, in the case of, let's say, shlo kederach achila, where you have no ma'isa achila, you're not going to have the inui shel achila as well. So again, in short, just to summarize, approach number one, the geder of inui shel achila is only based on a ma'isa achila. Approach 2A is that it's only based on yisuvei daita. The whole focus is on bittul inui. Ma'isa achila mandekar shemei, there is no role whatsoever. Approach 2B is that you need both a ma'isa achila and yisuvei daite. Any questions?
Yes, question.
Okay, that's why sometimes I hold them off. Okay, good. So with that framework, right, with that background, so now we're going to, again, approach the various issues within the sigil, called them impacted, issues. A number of issues, I'd like to suggest, all the major issues in the Sigur are going to be impacted by this introduction, about what is the geder of inui shel achila. So the first issue we're going to discuss for today is the issue regarding the unique shear of Achila. And so with that, let's turn to the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel and Beis, where the Mishnah first mentions the unique shear Achila for Inoy Shel Achila. And someone has it open. Mishnah Ayin Gimel and Beis, the third line of the Mishnah. Okay, you want to go for Eitan? The third line of the Mishnah Ayin Gimel and Beis. Okay, so we're going to get to that exact formulation. This is, in short, right, the shear achila for inoy, for Yom Kippur, is a unique shear of kikoseves agasa. Right, and then in terms of the shear for shtia, we'll get that in. Okay, and right, and the shear, you know, for shtia is also unique, right, in contrast to revius, which is the classical shear for maisa shtia. You know, the shear for shtia for Yom Kippur is Mololadma. But we'll get back. That's our second issue. But again, right now, focusing on the shear of Kosefis. So again, right off the bat, you already see that the shear achila for Yom Kippur is unique. Right? In contrast to Kol Torah Kula, where the, you know, what's the shear of a Maisa achila?
Kizayis.
Right here we have a unique shear of Kosefis. So we're gonna have to analyze that, but before we analyze how that plays in different approaches, just to see a number of other, you know, primary makoros which relate to this year. So turn to Ayin Tes Amud Beis, to the bottom there. Alright, so Ayin Tes Amud Beis, the bottom line, and the last three words on the line is Tanya Rebbe Omer. So here, a brisa again is going to relate to the unique shear and really tell us where the makor is for this unique shear. What time is the mark? Titania Rabbi Omer?
So therefore, the Chachamim changed in the shear. The right of the Dagor and the proof to the matter that a change in the Pasuk leads to a change in the shear. So my Shina Pasuk is the Mishnah.
Right, where did the Torah, you know, change the formulation in regards to Yom Kippur?
From anyone who doesn't afflict themselves, as opposed to just doing it.
Exactly. Right. So again, as you correctly pointed out, what's the shinui? The pasuk uses the lashon of inui, affliction, in contrast to the classical lashon of achila. Right. Generally, the Torah says lo socha, lo yochal, lo yeachel. Right. But here, instead of using the lashon of achila, the Gemara uses the lashon of inoy. Again, Rashi spells it out in Dir Maschal Asher Lo Su'uneh, where he says Vlo Ksiv Asher Tochal. So ready. So again, first we saw in the Mishnah that the shear is different, Kosevis. Here, a brisa according to the Gemara already is attributing the change in shear to the pasuk, right? To the focus of the pasuk being on inoy and not nachila. And again, as you can probably tell from our Hatama, that's loaded. Right, the fact that the focus is not achila, rather an inoy, again that could be a loaded statement. Oh, but before we go back to analyze, again there's two more gemaras which are very important in this light. Let's go back to Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. So here we'll discuss this more in detail Sunday morning. But the Gemara presents a machlokes amoraim in terms of how does the shear Kosevis Agasa relate to the other shear which we're more aware of, better acquainted with, of the shear of Kibetza. Right, there's going to be two opinions in the Maram in terms of the shear of Kosevis Agasa a little larger than Kibetza, or is it a little smaller. But for now, we'll analyze that Machlokas next time, but for now, it's very important to note the formulations of the Maram. So go for Eitan again. So you say Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, starting with Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yehuda.
Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Kosevis Hagasa. Amar Yisera Mikvitz. It's bigger than The king of the Rabbanim, the rabbis were sure in the Bahakim, Yasvadaite.
Yasvadaite.
Yasvadaite. That's going to settle his mind. What's your Mayakim? Yasvadaite. Doesn't that isn't going to settle his mind?
Satiate him, yeah. Okay, so very important. So already in Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the first time we had it, where basically the shear, the unique shear of Koseves, is attributed to this factor of Yisuve Daite, right, which implies that this factor of Yisuve Daite plays a crucial role at hand, and therefore that's going to be Kovei, that the shear is not a classical shear of Kezias, but rather is going to be Koseves. And according to Rabbi Yehuda's position, is that the shear of Yisuve Daite, of this form of satiation, is only when it's larger than a kebetzim. So again, before we analyze, there's one last makor. When you have ayin tes on the base, flip again. Now this is transitioning to the shita of Rav Zvid, who holds that the shear of koseves agasa is a little less than kebetzim. But again, the formulation that we're going to focus on right now is towards the bottom. So you have three lines up from the bottom. It says v'isal kadaitach. As the Gemara is trying to understand, what the makor for Rav Zvid is. How does Rav Zvid know that the shear koseves agasa is a little less than kebetza? So just give you the background. He basically cites, the dinum regarding to benching, since of birchas amazon, to prove that the shear of svia, which is the classical satiation, is a shear of kebetza. So once he knows that, that's how he then infers the shear of koseves. You see, the second word in line is v'isal kadaitach.
Now that a beitza completely sees someone, it's not going to settle them.
In terms of Yisuvi Daita, basically, we're going to see. We're going to get back to what's Rabbi Yehuda's answer to this. Get back to that, but right, he's basically saying, so if the shir kebetza is the higher form of satiation called, svia, then yisuve daita, which is a lower level of satiation, that has to be less than that. Therefore, Ella. That gives a lower level of satiation. So it's very important. So again, so right here we've seen that Inoy Shelachila has a unique shear. It comes directly from the unique formulation of the Torah of focus on Inoy. And then here, we've seen the Gemara, both Amaran, both Rav Yehuda and Rav Zvid, are both saying that the shear is based on the factor of Yisuve Daita. So now let's analyze, this unique shear in light. Can I just do it first, then we'll go back to the question?
Just a question.
I'm just going to tie it to the original analysis, and then I'll take a question. So just to tie, this unique shear based on Yisuvi Daita to the earlier analysis. So the first approach, or the first general approach, which said that the geder of Inui Shel Achila is all based on a Maisa Achila. So that first approach, we'll have to understand that what's going on here is that basically, first approach is going to say, don't get carried away with the Gemara's emphasis on Yisuvi Daita. And don't think that Yisuvi Daita is the Koveya at hand, and ignore the factor of Maisa Achila. Really, says the first approach, really the Koveya is Maisa Achila. And what the Gemara is saying, as we pointed out before, that this discrepancy between the shear of Chol Torah Kula of Kezias to the shear here of Koseves, that's just a quantitative adjustment. To say that really the gather of Inoy Shel Achila is a Maisa Achila, but because the Torah formulates it not in terms of Achila, but rather in terms of Inoy, so that's like a simen, that's an indication that you have to quantitatively adjust the shear a little bit. It's still a Maisa Achila, we still require Maisa Achila, but the shear for that Maisa Achila is not a Kezias, it's rather a little larger. It's the shear which normally generates a Yisuvei Daita, it's the shear of Koseves. But according to the first approach, don't get carried away by the Gemara's emphasis on Yisuvei Daita. Really, the Koveya is still a Maisa Achila, and the different shear is just a quantitative adjustment. Fine.
Just, you said the Torah redefines it?
What?
You said the Torah redefines it.
But According to this first approach, it's not really such a large, it's not a qualitative redefinition, because it's still a Maisa Achila. It's just the difference in Lashon is just a way of saying just adjust, it's like a smaller adjustment. Oh. That it's still a Maisa Achila, but because we use the Lashon of Inoy.
But the Iker is still
The Iker is still Achila. Oh. And the difference in the formulation of the Torah is just a way of saying, oh, by the way, adjust the shear quantitatively. From Kizayas to Koseves. But according to the second approach, I'll take it.
Why do we keep...
Just 1 second, I'll just say this and then I'll take questions. According to the second approach, again, which thinks that the factor of Yisuve Daite completely redefines, you know, the gather of Inoy Shel Achila. Again, for now, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's 2A or 2B, whether there's also Ma'is Achila. But again, both versions of approach number two think that the geder of Inoy Shel Achila is distinct from Kol Torah Kula, where it's all based on a Ma'is Achila, and the Inoy Shel Achila takes into account in a big way this factor of Bitul Inoy / Yisuvei Daita. So according to the second approach, both versions basically are saying that the unique formulation of the Torah of Inoy, in contrast to Achila, and the Gemara's repeated, you know, focus on the fact of Yisuvei Daita is not just a technical adjustment of the shear, but rather completely redefines the geder of Inoy Shel Achila. And the Torah, by formulating the Isra in terms of Inoy and not in terms of Achila, is basically telling you that don't define Inoy Shel Achila based on the geder of Maisa Achila b'chol Torah Kula, because if that was the case, the Torah would have formulated in terms of Lo Sochal, don't eat. Says approach number two, the Torah switches its formulation to focus on Inoy to tell you that the geder of Inoy Shel Achila takes into account the factor of Bitul Inoy, that the Koveya at hand is that you can't be Mevatel the Inoy, the Mitzvah Saseya, the Inisim Es Nafsho Seichem, and therefore the driving force behind the Geder of Inoy Shel Achila is this factor of Yisuvei Daita. And right, again, according to approach number two, they're going to play up the Torah's unique Lashon, and going to play up, you know, the Gemara's repeated focus on Yisuvei Daita is not just an adjustment of the shear, but as redefining the entire nature of the geder, so that the geder is based on Yisuvei Daita. Fine. Now we'll take questions. Yeah.
So I get that the like a Masei Achila is Kizayis most other places. Fine. But where is like the independent motivation for the local motivation for that reading, for the reading of for the first reading that you know, don't get carried away by the Yisuvei Daita, this is all just, you know,
an adjusted Ma'aseh.
Does that have any, is that proposed as like, you know, this is just like it's pashut, it's a common sense, you know, the Torah, how could it be any other way? Yeah. Or does it have any, is there any, like, local force? The reason I'm asking that the Pasuk is all about Inu.
Yeah.
The Pasuk is all about Inu. I just don't see where this gets off the ground. Okay. I mean, except in the sense that it might not be able to be any other way.
Just common sense, the Torah says not the Inu. That's Inu. The Torah says not the Inu.
Yeah, okay. So again, I think in your answer... I would say two things. One, number one, like Brian's saying, is that I would say a large part of the driving force would probably be just like their intuition. And it sounds like whenever the Torah, you know, discusses Dinei Achila, these are the parameters. So this falls under that larger category, and therefore, you know, how could you create a completely independent status? Point number one. Point number two is, and as we get to more issues, we're going to see that there are various discussions in the Gemara and various indications in the Gemara where the Gemara seems to apply classical Dine Achila to here. So again, and the question is going to be, that's why they're all, everyone's going to have to discuss, you know, how is the second approach going to understand those things, let's say for like Achila Gasa, for instance. There are certain like classical Peturim B'chol Torah Kula, which the Gemara seems to carry over here. So the first approach can say, oh, look, that's a raya. That's a raya. The carryover of classical dinam of achila to here, that's a raya that, no, the gender at hand is a classical ma'aseh achila. And you're going to see the second approach is going to counter, like, wait a second. If you look very carefully, there seem to be even certain discrepancies even within those, you know, classical, you know, dine achila. And that's going to be the tension that we're going to be, you know, exploring moving forward. Was there another? Brian, do you have a question? Okay, good. So before we go on, again, so I couldn't find any Rishonim who explicitly addressed this question about whether, you know, the adjustment of shear is just, you know, a quantitative adjustment, but to really ma'is achila, or whether that, you know, that adjustment in shear really reflects, you know, completely different, you know, gedder, not achila based, but rather inoy based. So I couldn't find anyone who says it explicitly, but I found two Rishonim in these sugyas which seem, well, it's implicitly to take a stand on the issue. So the first Rishon on this is Rashi. So if you look at Rashi on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, there's a later part of the sugya which we'll hopefully get to later. Make sure we'll get to it. And this is the Gemara, which you've probably seen in a different context. So basically this is a Gemara which is bothered by where is the Azhara for Inuy Shalachila? Right? There's an Asay of Vinisim Es Nafshos Eichem, and we know there's an Onesh of Karis. Where's the Azhara? Where's the Los Asay? Where's the Torah say, don't eat? So the Gemara, right at the beginning of the Gemara, or the Gemara right after the Mishnah, Amar Shalachish, anyone want to go for it? Alright, pay Aleph Omen Aleph.
As part of the
How would you write? How would the Torah formulate it?
It would say
that would imply it because of the Zion. So we're going to stop there. This is going to be a crucial one, right? So the Gemara is saying, at this stage, right? The Gemara is right. Rish Lakish is originally posing the question, why is there no Azhara for Inuy? And he's basically answering, there's no Azhara for Inuy Shalachiyah because there's no way for the Torah to formulate it. But why can't you formulate it in terms of the classical Lo Salcho? Because then that would imply...
If you say it's Lo Salcho, that would imply that it's based off of typical Kzayas. And we're going to hold like that. We say instead that it's like, you should adapt.
Whoa, okay. Because we say, what do we know for sure? You just added a very important Rashi. But what meaning? Push pshat.
It's not just. The shear is not.
Exactly. The shear. All we know is the shear is not a kazayas. The shear is kosefus. But as you're pointing out, what does Rashi stick in here? Okay. Before Rashi, there are two ways to understand this Gemara. So either the problem of lo sochal is that now you just got the shear wrong. It's very limited. That really lo sochal would be fine. All right. It accurately formulates, you know, the nature of the issue. It's a little wrong because it misses the shear. That'll be one way to take it. That's the way the first approach would presumably learn this Gemara. Really, Achila would have been Shayach, because that is the gedder of Inuy Shel Achila. It's all based on Ma'is Achila. But we couldn't use the Lashon of Achila because we need to use the Lashon of Inuy as just a simen to adjust the shear. But how would the second approach understand it? The second approach would say, no. The Lashon of Achila would be a bad choice. It's not just that it would mess us up in terms of the shear. Would completely miss the boat, right? Because the Gedder HaIsser is not a Maisa Achila, as would be implied by the Lashon Lo Sochal. Because rather, the Gedder HaIsser is focused on Yisuvei Daite. Right? That's the way you would read this Gemara if you were going to the second approach. And with that, let's look at Rashi. Rashi, Dira Maslo Achila, because that's the first Rashi on the Gemara. So I think that's a loaded Rashi.
Yeah.
Rashi is not just saying, oh, you got the shear is wrong. He's saying it's more than that. He's basically saying that the Mechayev is not Achila. The Mechayev is rather Yishuv Hadas. So I think this is an indication, again, it's a diuk, that Rashi is accepting the second approach.
Sounds almost more like 2a than 2b.
Yes. It sounds like it's only Yishuv Hadas. Exactly. So again, I think there's an... Because Rashi is saying Lo Chiyava Olav Ela B'Yishuv Hadas, which I think, right? It sounds like again, if it was just a way of saying that the shear is wrong, I think you could say that in different ways and say, oh,
I'm saying Aaron's
deal. Oh, because he says it's in Ela, it's only Yishuv Hadas. But in terms of the broader point, right? If Rashi was an approach number one person and he would read the Gemara as just saying, oh, the problem with the Lashon Achila is that it wouldn't tell us the right shear. You could just say that. Oh, the problem with saying Achila is that would imply Kazayas. But we really think the shear is Kosefes.
Could you be saying that you're chayav, but you're chayav on the Maaseh Chila, but not on Inoy?
Rashi?
Yeah.
I mean, Rashi is saying, lo chayva alav elab yishav adas. That the only mechayev is the yishav adas.
The only
chayev
on the...
For Inoy Shel Achila.
Yeah.
Meaning, our topic at hand, the Inoy Shel Achila, he's saying the mechayev is yishav adas. So I think there's like a very good indication of the second approach. That the mechayev at hand is yisuvei daite, is bittul Inoy. And therefore, the Gemara couldn't use the Lashon Achila because it would have completely missed the boat. Because the Lashon Achila would have implied that the Geder is Maisa Achila, but really, the Geder is Yishuv Hadas. Just 1 second, and we'll take... So that's a diuk from a Rishon in the camp of the second approach. Now, if you could turn to the Rif, and the Ran on the Rif, for a diuk which seems to imply the first approach. So again, the Ran, it's really the Ran... The omission of the Rif. Alright, the Ran, I'm sorry. Gimel Amidala Bidapi Rif. Again, for the number of guys, if someone has where it is. Dira Maskel Masnesen Big Pirkin. Do you have it? The Lepapas and the newer ones? Dalina Dabkas. And then the newer, you know, those other ones. So basically, the Ran notes that what's missing from the Rif, right? The Rif normally tells you all the, you know, Paskins, all the relevant Mishnayas, all relevant Gemaras. So what does the Ran point out is missing from the Rif's, you know, presentation of this path? What? The shear. Right? He leaves out the second half of our Mishnah, which deals with the shear. If you're talking about Halacha L'Maaseh, that seems to be a pretty big omission. So how does the Ran explain it? Want to go for it, Brian? Yeah. Is that you starting with the Harav Al-Fasi's out? I mean, what does this connect to? What other sugya does it connect to? I mean, why is it? I mean, why is it not off Kamino? You have to know what's aser. Exactly, right? He's basically saying once we hold chatzis shiras aser min haTorah, so halach lamaisa, you can't eat anything. So says the Ran, the only nafkamina according to the Rif of a full shear is karis. Ran says, that's not halacha l'maisa. That's bezin shamala. Let God take care of that. L'maisa, it's also to eat anything. Any shir, because chatzis shir is also min haTorah. So says the Ran, bedas haRif, the reason why the Rif leaves out the shir is because there's no nafkamina. It doesn't matter. The only nafkamina is in terms of onshin, and onshin is not applicable to us. And again, this, remember, maybe we did this in, you know, at nights earlier in the summer. The Ran then goes on to say, like, wait a second, I disagree. I think there is an afkamina because, you know, in terms of sakana, it's better to do chatzi shir, you know, than a full shir, right? If a chatzi shir will suffice to heal the chola, it's always better to do chatzi shir than full shir, and therefore you have to know what the full shir is in order to do chatzi of that. So that's the Ran himself. But the Ran b'das haRif, again, is that there was no point in mentioning the shir, because the only nafkamina of the shear was the shear of, you know, of onshin. And that's not nogeyatas. But if you take a step back, according to the Ran's understanding of the Rif, I think this has a major implication in terms of what we're discussing. Because if you take the first approach to say that the different, the unique shear of Kosevis is the only nafkamina of that is just, you know, the onish, but really, the Geder is Maisa Achila. So then the Ran, B'Shem HaRif, makes a lot of sense. Because yeah, in a Hanami, the Shir is just a quantitative adjustment, and the Shir doesn't reflect anything, you know, more basic about the nature of Inui Shel Achila. But if you accepted the second approach, that the unique Shir of Kosevis is the tip of the iceberg, according to the second approach, right, the unique Shir of Kosevis really highlights that the Geder of Inui Shel Achila is not a classical Maisa Achila, but rather integrates this factor of Yisuvei Daite, which, as we're going to see throughout our Shirim, has countless nafkamina. So then it would be strange for the Rif to omit the Shir. So in short, the fact that, at least the Ran's understanding of the Rif. The fact that the Rif omits the Shir of Kosevis implies that the Rif thinks that the unique Shir of Kosevis is a very isolated factor.
What would be enough to mean that the whole thing we should announce?
We're going to see. Meaning whether the classical dinim of Achila carry over to this. It were well, tons. You know, tons. Well, we had Hanas Me'ayim, Hanas Grono, Shloka Derech Achila, you know, Nifsal Me'achila, tons. The whole, all our shirim will all be based on all the various nafkamina between these two different approaches.
And the Rif doesn't mention any of those.
No. So again, the fact that the Rif omits the shir of Kosebes implies that to him, that's just a quantitative adjusted shir, which only has a nafkamina in terms of onshin, and therefore, yeah, it makes sense for the Rif to omit that because we don't care about that. Halacha l'maaseh. But again, if you really accepted approach number two, that the shir of Kosevis and the formulation of Yusubi Daite, which goes along with that, has broader implications, then the Rif wouldn't leave it in. Again, it's a diuk. He doesn't say it explicitly. That's, thank you. Ezra got diuk. But again, so while Rishonim don't explicitly, you know, address this question of whether the shir of Kosevis, you know, how that, you know, impacts, you know, the larger questions of the Geder, Ino Shel Achila. Again, you have Rashi focusing on Yusubi Daite in one direction, seem to be connecting the Shir of Kosevis to the Mechayev being Yusubi Daite, approach number two. While the Rif, by omission, as explained by the Ran, seems to accept, you know, approach number one, that the Shir of Kosevis is a very limited phenomenon. It's just limited, it's just a quantitative adjustment, but doesn't have broader implications, and therefore the Rif felt comfortable, you know, leaving it out. Yeah, Aaron, do you have a question? Okay. I feel justified in sometimes pushing off questions when you tell me that. Also? Okay. Amazing. Okay. And I feel better. Sometimes I feel guilty when I push off questions, so you're making me feel better. Okay, good. So now that we just analyzed, you know, how the unique shear of Kosevis, you know, relates, you know, to the broader, you know, the broader perspectives about whether it's just, you know, a quantitative adjustment, or whether, you know, it really reflects whether the Mechayev is Yusubi Daite. So now let's get into a little bit of the, you know, and that was all very fundamental. I'll just get to a little of the nitty gritty, because it's, you know, I was like thinking about skipping it, but, you know, this is the issue on the daf, and there's certain, you know, you saw those that come out of it. So in terms of just the gedder of this year itself. And the one issue in terms of the gedder of Kosevis, like what is that year? The first issue we're going to analyze is the issue of Garanisa, which is the Gemara's first discussion of it. And the second issue, which is a little more fundamental, is how the shear of Kosevis Agasa relates to the shear of Kibetza, and the Machokas between Rav Zvid and Rav Yudin. We'll get to that on Sunday morning. But first, the first issue relating to the gather of Kosevis Agasa is the issue of Garanisa. So let's read the Gemara, starting on Ayin Ches and Beis to Ayin Tes Amen Aleph. I'll just analyze the Shaka Ritarya as we go along. Pitzi, would you mind reading for us? Next starts Bayer of Pakal on the bottom of Ayin Ches on the base.
Bayer of Pakal, Kosevis, Sha'amru, Begari Nasa, Oglo Gari Nasa.
So we stop there. Right, so what's the question, literally? When the Rabbi Mishnah says, Kosevis Agasa, does that. So what's the obvious question that all the Rishonim are bothered by? All right, the Mishnah says what? The Mishnah says, Kosevis Agasa, Kimoha itself, Ukigari Nisa, and its pit. The question is, so what's the question, right? Gemara never asks questions which are, you know, explicitly addressed by the Mishnah. So we're going to find that there are three different, you know, Mahalchim in the Rishonim between Rashi and Tosos in terms of just how, really technically, to understand this question. So what's Rashi's approach? How does Rashi understand the question? You can read inside if you want. Right, so that's the implied question. Meaning, what do you mean? The Gemara, the Mishnah itself said Ukar Ganisa.
Yeah,
So what has Rashi understand the two sazon?
Is it this and that, or just either or?
Either or, exactly. So the Rashi is going to say, we know, the Gemara, of course the Gemara knows that the Mishnah says, Kamo u kigari nisa. The question is, when he says, Kamo u kigari nisa, is that u an and, or is that u an or? So, fine. Question is, Tosas has an an obvious question on that. The first also says, you know, the notion of a vav being an or, that we have precedence for. So that, although that's in Gilul HaDafka, you know, in Mishnaic, you know, formulations, we find the precedent for a vav meaning or. That's fine. But what's his problem with the second side of or? Anyone recall? So therefore, pick. I picked the small. Meaning,
it's
he says it's dachuk to say yeah, sure, it's same. That the garanisa and the kamoa are exactly the same size. So therefore, he says whichever one is the smaller one is the threshold. So what do you mean this or that? I mean the smaller one or the bigger one. That means the smaller one because whenever you pass that threshold, you're chayim. So that's why Tosos doesn't like Rashi's pshat.
Why don't we say the Gabbat has in the word kamoa? Why don't we just say that kamoa dahainu kigarinasa?
Oh, that's you understood?
Well, I mean, the Bach adds in the word.
Yeah. The question is how else you understand it. You're saying instead of using...
Well, it is kigarinasa.
Uh-huh.
I think those said something about, like, having the sound change.
So, yeah, you're saying that would be a problem with this also?
That would be an answer.
Could be. I hear. Interesting.
That's even another sheet because that's just the pit, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, like...
He's saying, let's say the pit is smaller... Maybe that's the second side.
Then there'd be a third,
wouldn't it? No, because the question is it both the pit and the fruit, or is it just the pit?
Oh, I see.
That's what you're saying. Yeah, it could be.
Wait, would you say fruit? Right. Is there a way to understand it without the Bach?
No, he's saying, instead of saying, oh, say like the Hainu.
Right.
I mean, you have to put a word in there, because it's
the... Moa, which is Kigari.
Yeah. Like the Hainu Kigarinisa.
That's his question.
No, because Tosas is saying you can't say or, because just pick the smaller one. He's saying, yeah, he is picking the smaller one. Garinisa is the smaller one. And Kamoa, Dahainu, Kigarinisa.
What do you mean just pick the smaller one? Meaning, maybe the smaller one is wrong.
No. Within the second side, that, I mean, according to Rashi's second side, it's the pit or the, you know, it's the pit or the fruit, meaning whichever one is smaller. Because. Meaning it's whichever. You know,
I was thinking it would be the same shear.
What?
I was thinking he's trying to say it's the same exact shear. The fruit is the same shear as
the then it's a problem with the Samson. Right.
But we can say this way also.
Tosos right? Probably had the 4 years of Rashi. So the big problem is adding an extra word is definitely not based on the Vanach. So they probably had the 4 years of Rashi and the Bach added in the oath based on Tosos. So
Could be.
Now I'm confused about what Rashi is.
Okay, in short. Rashi, you know, too bad. Yeah, this is like more of a technical thing, but because I'm just gonna whatever. But basically, for Rashi, the question of the Gemara is it both the pit, is it both the pit and the fruit, or is it either or? Meaning, what does either or mean?
Either the pit alone or the fruit alone.
But what does that mean? That means the smaller one. Meaning either or. Meaning whichever one you do first.
That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's prescription,
yeah.
not Rashi's understanding of the Gemara's dilemma within the either or. In other words, it's not
exactly sure I understood that.
So, in other words, Rashi's saying that it is either
it's an either or within an either or.
Yeah.
A practical either or.
Right within a
within
a
the theoretical.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Fine. Okay, let's just do this really quickly. And Tosas himself rejects Rashi based on those factors of Yerushal Tzamtzim, just therefore pick the smaller one. So how does Tosas himself say it? A very Kiddush read. Anybody?
Two seeds. Two
seeds. Yes.
Tosas says Mashma is the Mashma. The date and the seed. And the Kirina says another seed. Or Tosas is just Mashma the date.
Exactly. So two options are either, you know, the fruit, right, the fruit and the pit. And the pit, is it two pits and a fruit, or is it just a pit and a fruit?
Why is that okay?
That's just a look. Well,
no. Why is that different? Like when Rashi says, like that we see it's two different shears.
No, because Rashi Tosa doesn't like Rashi's the or.
This is or.
No.
It's either the
fruit
and the pit, or the
fruit
and the pit with
the
other pit.
No. The two stodim. That's as before.
Yeah.
The Gemara is presenting. Is it no? Does the Mishnah intend, you know, X, or does it intend Y? Those are two options. The only problem Tosas had within Rashi is that within one of those options, within Y, it can't be an or. Because you're basically saying, what?
He has an or.
No, it doesn't. His or is only, it's X, which is, you know, two pits and a fruit, or just a pit.
That's it. I don't get it. That's it.
No, because the question is, what is pshat in the Mishnah? Is the pshat, you know, approach X or is approach Y? That's that the or is in terms of which approach you take. Once you take one of the approaches, you have a shear. Right? According to Tosos. The first approach is that the shear is two pits and a fruit. According to the second option, the Mishnah is saying a shear. One pit and one fruit. That's fine, because each one is a clear shear. For one pshat in the Mishnah to be an or, that's a little confusing.
The question of whether it's a peach with its pit or a peach and a pit.
That's the Rashi. Say again?
A peach with its pit versus a peach.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But Tosfos, that doesn't dismantle the stira that Rashi is pointing out.
No.
Right?
What do you mean?
What's Tosfos'
problem? Okay, Tosfos' problem is that he doesn't like an option being or. Because or doesn't mean anything. Or means whichever one you get to first.
But that misses the point of Rashi. Of Rashi saying it's not just like okay. Tosfos' point is that like Rashi's pretending it's you know it's indeterminate whether you pick
but
within Sad 2 you know option either or option or okay make it determinate like inakinami like just okay solve for X. In the second option, and now you have X, which is different from the first tzav.
That's what Tosfos does.
Just Tosfos, just like
Tosfos, just saying he wants to have two clear shirim. Option A is that the shear is two pits and a fruit. Option B is one pit and one fruit. Simple.
Why is that such a?
Because you don't have any ors within an option.
But he leaves Rashi as a question.
Yeah, he leaves. He doesn't answer for Rashi.
He doesn't what?
He doesn't answer for Rashi. He rejects Rashi. And the orphans will turn. I really don't want to get caught up in this. So, and we have to finish. Yeah, no, we can discuss after. So just, I don't want to be caught in the middle of this. So, that's right. Tosfos is, again, it's two pits and a fruit versus one pit, one fruit. Fine. Again, we don't have time for this, but for extra credit, there's a major problem with Tosfos in terms of how he's going to read the Shacharit Targum at Nayan Tesis.
Ooh. In this.
So you'll think about that. It's a little technical in the chazan, but basically, when the Gemara is trying to prove Rav Yehuda wrong by the you know the shear of two kosavos without their garnizin, that's a stira to the way it seems to be a major question on the way Tosfos presents what kosavos agasa is. But not for now. So again, Tosfos. And now the third approach that Tosfos presents is Rav Nissim Gaon, who based on the Yerushalmi, who says it's a question of whether you include the space between the pit and the fruit. Fine. So I'm moving on. So that's again, those are three explanations in terms of how you understand the question of the Gemara. Again, either it's, you know, Rashi's is and versus or. For Tosos, it's two pits and a fruit versus one pit and a fruit. And for Rav Nissim Gaon, it's a question of whether you include, you know, the space in between the pit and the fruit. Fine. And then, skipping a little bit, the Gemara says, right, Rav Ashi has had his alternative question in terms of etzem kisa ora. And then Gemara, who was reading, let's see, go to Rav Ashi lo mi bayi. Like three lines down, the last two words in the line that Rav Ashi. Three lines down from the top, Rav Ashi lo mi bayi le.
Rav Ashi lo mi bayi le.
And why was Rav Ashi not bothered by Rav Papa's question because it was like, ah, son?
Itmar, kol karma di gasa.
Right, because Gasa Itmar.
Oh, Gasa Itmar, Kokam Gasa.
Right, because the Mishnah says Gasa, and that implies the larger shear. Right? So therefore, you didn't have a question, because for him it was Pasha. Just now, just to quickly spell us out within the different approaches. According to Rashi, that means that it's the end, because Gasa implies a larger shear, so therefore, option A, which is, you know, the Garanisa, plus the Kamoha. According to Tosfos, it's a larger shear of two pits plus the fruit. And Rav Nissim Gaon, what this means is just a larger shear including the space in between. Fine. So then one last hour, and then I'll take any questions, so I'll make sure I finish this part before, is in terms of right, this last line that we just read in Ravashi, the reason why Ravashi didn't have this question is because to him it was Pasha, the Gasa Itmar Kokama the Gasa. The question is, what is the makor for his pshat? So Pash pshat is that the makor is the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says Gasa. So he thought that it was Pasha when the Mishnah says Kosevas Agasa, the Gasa means the larger shear. That's the simple interpretation of Ravashi. But I thought it was an interesting Sfas Emes, which basically says no, that's not. Ravashi is not coming from a diuk in the Mishnah, but rather is coming from a different place. So again, if someone wants to read the Tani, would you mind reading the Sfas Emes for us? It's actually interesting. The Sfas Emes is on the next line of the Gemara. The next line of the Gemara, where in Rabbi Yehuda, which we read before, where Rabbi Yehuda says that the shear of Kosevas Agasa is larger than the shear of Kibetza. Because of the factor of Yisubei Daita and the Rabbanon or Mishair, they determined, right? They quantified that the shear of Yisubei Daita was larger than a kibitza. So Sfas Emes deals with the question, which we'll get back to later, is that why is the Gemara bringing in the Lashon of Rabbanon? It's not Din Darabanan, it's a Din Daraisa. So that's the context of the Sfas Emes. Let's see if the Sfas Emes is on the Makaro sheets.
Tamua. Very sheer kosevas below much me sinai. The lamali the main mar the kimulu rabban.
Right, so he's asking this kasha. Why is Rabbi Yehuda using the lashon of kimulu rabbanon as if the chachamim are coming along and making the sheer? If really there's a halach lamash me sinai, you know, this is a mesora. Mesora da oresa.
So Rahloma, the kevin lo yadina and sheer kosevas gata in the spigalu veil, yabi figure anisa, o below garnisa.
So in short, what did he just say?
If it includes the pin or not, that but we're just sure that you need a yisuri das. So it's clear to Ravashi that.
That it's Gasa.
Yeah.
Meaning, which is fascinating, meaning, Pashuk Shan in Rabbi Yehuda is that this factor of Kimlu Rabbanon, the Bahakim Yas Vedaite, what is that referring to? What are the Chachamim being Mishayer based on Yisuv Vedaite? The Shir in relation to Kibetza. So the Sfas Emes says that can't be, because of course the Shir, you know, must be Halach L'Mishma Sinai. So rather, what is this lashon of kimulu rabbanon based on misavet, right? Based on yisuvei daita going on? What issue? Not about the shir kosevis in relation to kibetza, but rather to the earlier discussion of garinisa, which basically has a fascinating, you know, understanding of Rav Ashi. He basically puts these two gemaras together. The Rav Ashi wasn't just making a plain diuk in the Mishnah that the Mishnah's lashon of gasa implies the larger shir. It's rather, you know, it's, you know, more loaded than that. It's rather that the factor of Yisuvei Daite is what's kovea the larger shear. So according to the Sfas Emes, the reason why Rav Ashi didn't even have the shaila of, you know, Gasa is not because of a diuk in the Mishnah, but rather because of this factor of Yisuvei Daite, which is only a little bit exciting because Yisuvei Daite we're basically discussing is a loaded term, and the question is that could potentially either be a quantitative adjustment or completely redefine the entire nature of Inui Shel Achila. So here you have this factor of Yisuvei Daite, not only determining, you know, the shear of Kosevas Agasa in relation to Kibetza, like you have in Pashran Ligmar, but according to Sfas Emes, that same factor, that same loaded factor of Yisuvei Daite is also defining, you know, the shear of Kosevas Agasa in terms of this question of Kiyagari Nisa. That's just a small.
So what's, yeah, what's
one more time?
What did the rabbi say?
What was the halacha? What did they say?
So it seems like the halacha Moshe Misinai is. One second.
Shekosevas?
Yeah. It seems to be saying that the. So it seems like the Sfas Emes thinks that what the Rabbanon are doing are trying to define. I mean, halacha Moshe Misinai, it's that it's Kosevas Agasa. the Rabbanon are determining about whether that what is the gather of Gasa in light of Rav. I mean, that's Rav Papa. He's basically the Rabbanon are answering Rav Papa Shaila and saying the pshat in Gasa is the larger shear based on Yusuf Eitaita. So the Lachom Mashmi Sinai establishes the shear is Kosevas Gasa. Now the Rabbanon are coming along based on the factor of Yisubei Daita in saying that the gather of Koseva Sagasa is the larger shear. Now plug it into Rashi, Tosos, and Rav Eitan Nissen going in terms of what exactly the implications of Gasa is. We'll stop here and we'll pick up next time. Yeah. Obviously, free to answer any questions. If